on Downtown. It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Happy 19th anniversary, Eric.
Thank you, Rich, and hello to all of you in Radio Land. Thank you. Yeah, we're 25 years in on this experiment, but 19 years with the rings on our finger, although with respect to my wife, I don't wear rings because I hate jewelry, but I have one. I wear it on those occasions when I feel like maybe I'm in trouble. But honestly, because as everybody knows, and I will remind you all, my band, 161, is getting back together, and we are, if nothing else, playing the Orno Brewing Company on the 11th of October, and I hope to see you all there. But as my fingers either, diminish or swell in whatever human, my ring just kind of slides down and it almost feels like it's an irritant, to be sure, only in actuality, but not in
I have
so I told my wife, I'm like, listen, at this point, if you're not content in my faithfulness, the ring will not help.
Right. I have dropped mine a couple of times and lost it briefly, including once doing a football game, and it turned out it was in the booth. It had slipped off. Teach me to lose weight, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't need that.
No.
As anybody knows, Lord of the Rings is my favorite book, right? And literally the entire premise of that entire thing is about losing a ring. It slips off at the most inopportune times. Consider my lesson learned before it ever gets started. And speaking of lessons learned, I am still a Giants fan, if only because, like all the participants in wearing the ring, I believe in punishment. It's clear. Punishment through addiction.
Yes.
That's my thing. The Giants are my precious, and I get it. I know what to do about it. I don't. I just hope for Drew or that handsome young man Quinn out of Texas. Shador, we could get Shador. He'd be good because he knows what it's like to not have an offensive line. So whatever works. Do I sound desperate?
Cool. No, not at all. Not at all.
Cool. All right, folks. Let's focus. I'm here to talk about wine, which I actually do know about. And we're going to talk about Southern Italy today, which is a place that wine is both undervalued and just a staple of life. And I think those two things kind of go together in the fact that we in, how do I say it, the developed part of the world, these people that believe in capitalism and charging a lot for Bordeaux and things like that. In Southern Italy, you have wine as a way of life, but the regions are still relatively unknown and or underappreciated. So you have really good wines that are well within reach of all of us, really. And what's kind of important to remember about Southern Italy, take a second to sort of picture it in your mind, right? This is the boot part, right? This is where you have the heel, and the heel is by actual name Puglia, and then you have sort of the arch, right, which is Basilicata. Then you have the toe area, which is Calabria. Hopefully that helped. And then farther up, if someone were to kick you in the shins, that would be Campania. So again, shins, Campania, toes, Calabria, arch, Basilicata, Puglia is the heel of the boot. So now you have it all. Now, when the Greeks came over and brought the grapes that were so important eventually to all Italians, especially the Romans who saw fit to spread them essentially to the rest of the world, them along with the Phoenicians, they landed in Basilicata, right? So they landed in the arch, if we're thinking about that. So that really is, well, it is truly probably the least appreciated and viticulturally used part of Italy. It was the first part where the Greeks came and planted grapes and did their thing. And they called it, in their idiom and is now called, Mezzogiorno, which is literally midday. And it's hard to sort of encompass how much that landing meant, because from there, obviously, grapes as an agricultural product were spread literally everywhere by the rise of the Roman Empire, which did not happen that long afterwards. But the grapes down here are maybe grapes that people haven't heard of, which is interesting but not surprising, because they didn't have the sort of access to, for instance, tourism that the Chianti region or the Veneto region, so the homes of Chianti and Prosecco, those had enormous reach for the folks in the U.S. and other places. But down in the south of Italy, really, people don't really visit there, which is sad. It's not only gorgeous, it's so diverse. If you're over in Puglia, you will see homesteads that are very, very similar to, like, if you've ever been to Greece, especially the island of Santorini, these sort of little round huts that are white. There's very, very similar things there in Puglia. The culture is entirely different. And therefore, the grapes probably, it doesn't surprise you that they are different as well. And I know I don't have a lot of time, but just a couple of important wine things to know about here, and maybe we can revisit it next week if we run out of time. So starting to the north in Campania, probably the most important thing is the fact that that's where Mount Vesuvius is, and there's a lot of really awesome volcanic soil around there. So the wine Lacrima Christi is grown there. The wine, the Taurasi appellation, which is the grape Alianico, which is a very thick-skinned, you know, rough and ready grape that can be very elegant, but is also in need of brilliant winemaking. There's just absolutely fantastic things. By the way, Lacrima Christi, just kind of fun to think about. By the way, Lacrima Christi, not made out of Alianico, but Lacrima Christi produced on these the slopes of Mount Vesuvius, and in theory, Lacrima Christi, meaning the tears of Christ, this is where Lucifer fell, and Christ wept over the land and produced the grapes that produced this one Lacrima Christi. My gosh, I'm just running out of time. There's so much to talk about. Perhaps we'll touch on it next week, because we also need to talk about Sicily, etc., and some of the islands. Rich, how am I doing for time?
We have about two and a half left.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, then we're good. Then we'll keep going. So we talked about those things. Let's talk really quickly about a couple of other grapes that you will find down there. In Puglia, you will find the grape Negro Amaro, which literally translates to bitter black, but it is farmed throughout a region called Salento, and is featured in a grape, a wine called Salice Salentino, and it is also featured in a lot of other wines from the Puglia region. So Negro Amaro, a grape to check out from there. Also Primitivo, which is more famous to most of you listening, known as Zinfandel. This is originally a wine from Central Europe, and it has made its way down into southern Italy. It made its way, obviously, in clippings over to California, and other places. But if you see a wine called Primitivo, that is indeed the Zinfandel that you know, just because grapes are so mutatable that it sort of, you know, changes there. I know I am running out of time, so I don't want to touch on Sardinia and Sicily today, because Sicily especially is really coming into its own in terms of almost the Burgundian level appellation status. So we'll save that until next week. But until that time, I hope you're all well. I hope you're not Giants fans. For those of you who are Patriots fans, by the way, well done. And I hate to say I'm happy, but the more you win and the more we lose, the closer we are to number one.
There you go.
Losing. It's pathetic, isn't it?
It is.
It is a proud franchise I'm rooting to lose.
Well,
speaking of proud franchises, my fantasy team faring no better. So me and Joe Shane, we're both going to be looking for work next week.
Well, I hope your fantasy team has better uniforms than the Giants trotted out.
Oh, the Canadians are calling, yeah, and they're saying, what's up?
Exactly.
I don't even know where to start.
No.
I'm calling John Mara right after this. I'm calling John Mara and saying, Guy. Or Steve Tisch. I don't know. I have both of their numbers for some particular reason.
You do what you got to do, and celebrate your anniversary appropriately.
I am currently smelling the wonderful strawberry galette that I am making for us. Mm. Yeah. We're doing wonderful bubbles and proper cheese and fruits and such. Real simple, real basic, because we're all so busy. And that's how everybody should do it, by the way. Don't ever feel like you need to overdo yourself. Just some nice basic food, quickest way to everybody's heart, you know.
That works. Very nice. Best to Chris, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle.